We continue with the Back to Basics program with Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab, Hafizahullah. Mufti Saab joins us on the line. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, how are you on this Monday morning?
All praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah. Maulana, Mufti Saab, yourself?
All very well, alhamdulillah.
And how is Maulana Habib? He's on some kind of mission.
Gee, there's always things that are happening, and unfortunately couldn't make it for this morning's program at the last minute. I had to come in.
Right, sure, Mr.
I understand that, Ustaz, you've been discussing in the last session the fiqh with regards to children.
We were discussing the fiqh of children, and I thought we had now come to the end of the series, but there may be a few more masail to discuss, so maybe we could just continue, maybe with your barakah, and end the thing, which, you know, on that note, Mufti.
Inshallah. Maybe for the benefit of the listeners, just a quick recap on some of the issues that have been covered.
We've covered the entire gamut of masail relating to ibadah and muamala and tarbiyah and general miscellaneous masail relating to children in particular. So that is why we're referring to this program as the fiqh of children. So all of those have been covered to quite a great extent. And I thought I had completed that discussion, but now there may be one or two more masail that have come up, so perhaps I could add that to our discussion, and then inshallah we could end it off or round it off on that note, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mufti, you may go ahead to pick up on those one or two masail that you've been referring to.
Okay, inshallah, Mufti. We have, for example, the issue of nicknames and children. And this was one which I had unfortunately forgotten to discuss in the previous program. So I thought now it's very important that we should just touch on this basically. We spoke about actually naming one's children on the seventh day and giving them a good Islamic name. And the reason for that was that it will have an impact on their personality for lifelong. So that was discussed. Now we discussed the issue of nicknames. Nicknames could have the opposite effect of giving a good name. If it is a bad nickname, so therefore one must be very careful with regards to giving one's children nicknames or others to give one's children nicknames. One must be very careful about these things. Giving a nickname by itself is not anything that is prohibited, but it must of course be within certain regulations of the Sharia. For example, we should not give any nickname that is insulting or that is offensive to the person. That will be regarded as prohibited and haram, and it will be tantamount to causing undue pain and trouble to a fellow Muslim, which is prohibited and haram. So therefore we should never give such a nickname to someone. Secondly, the nickname must, even if that person is not offended, but it must not be vulgar of nature and so on. Thirdly, it should not be a nickname, and this is very important. It should not be a nickname that is actually a kind of a distortion of the actual name. This is another thing that we have to be very careful about. We should not give such a nickname that is a distortion of the original name, in such a way that the original name actually becomes distorted and it becomes almost like a kind of mockery of the original name. So that is also not correct. That is not appropriate. Now, this is where we find a lot of names are kept. You know, people keep names that are totally inappropriate, nicknames that are inappropriate. When it comes to the sifat and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and somebody has been given a name that carries the attributes and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should always ensure that we turn it with the slave of Allah, the slave of Allah, you know, with a certain attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for example, we would say Abdul Samad, and we don't say Samad Samad. To try and shorten that name, but you will say, you know, Samad Samad, this is wrong and it is not allowed. Nobody else may carry the name of Samad besides Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is a Samad. Nobody else is a Samad besides Allah. So to refer to a human being with that name, this is completely wrong. So I thought I'll bring this up in the discussion of nicknames as one aspect relating to children. It's general, but generally a nickname is given when somebody is very young in life. Mostly a child is given a nickname. So one has to be very careful in that respect. Also, the name of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful name. It's a very honored and revered name. To go and distort the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and, you know, call people by a distorted version of the name Muhammad, this is also not right. It is not appropriate. We should at least love and honor the name Muhammad. We should not give any kind of nickname or distort the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is inappropriate to do that. The love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not allow a person to go about distorting his beautiful and Mubarak name. The name Muhammad is the name that Allah loved and chose for his beloved one. And it was an inspired name. And it has got a lot of blessings and barakah in it. So therefore one must be very careful not to distort the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then additional to that, we find that people distort the name by giving it a kind of a anglicized version. You know, the anglicized and a good Islamic name. So although we will not say that it is haram to anglicize the name, but it's also highly inappropriate to do so. For example, somebody's name is Yusuf. So now they start calling him Joe or Joseph. Mufti Yusuf, I want to listen to that one. You know, Joseph. Sure. Because Joseph is the anglicized or biblical denotation of Yusuf. So we have, mashallah, our proper Islamic names. Why should we adopt a biblical name or adopt an anglicized version of that name? One is non-Muslim people are unable to pronounce the name, so they will refer to that person by something that they are familiar with or they can pronounce properly. But that doesn't mean that we who are able to pronounce the names, we should go about distorting the names. You know, Suleiman becomes Saul, or Soli, or Sulu, or something silly like this, you know. So we should avoid this kind of thing. It's not an appropriate thing. To distort the names of Anbiya alayhi salam also is not right. We should have the highest degree of reverence for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Then there may be something that's a pet name. A pet name is allowed. If it is not offensive and it's not distorted in any way, those type of pet names, those are allowed. Because those are endearing. Those are terms of endearment. And Islam does not prohibit any kind of endearment. Any endearing term can be used. For example, our beloved Rasulullah himself referred to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha as Humaira. Humaira means the one who is fair in complexion and beautiful and so on. So our Rasulullah kept a pet name for her. And that was a beautiful pet name called a Humaira. Right. So pet names are something that are endearing, so that is not prohibited, as long as, of course, it is not, again, going contrary to some of those regulations that you mentioned. Another example is, you know, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu as Abu Hir or Abu Hur. It was like a kind of a shortening of the name Abu Huraira. In fact, in the first place, the name Abu Huraira was also a pet name that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept of a sahabi whose name was possibly Abdurrahman ibn Safar or Abdullah ibn Safar. There's 25 different aqwal and narrations regarding the actual name of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His original name was so forgotten because of this pet name that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept. That was because of his pet, his little pet kitten, that caused his name to be kept Abu Huraira, the father of the kitten. So sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to him in an enduring way, in an endearing way, as Abu Hir or Abu Hur. So, and in fact, Abu Huraira was also a term of endearment. And like that, the Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to carry the loads and so on. In out of love for him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept his name Safina, meaning like a ship. So, and for that matter, there may be other examples in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeping a kind of a pet name for someone. So that is allowed. So you can, you know, use all kinds of pet names, like, you know, how people refer to their children as Babu and Bachu and this and that and the other. Those are absolutely in order. There is nothing wrong with using a pet name for the purposes of endearment. Sometimes those pet names actually stick for a lifetime, but they're not offensive at all. They're very endearing. That would be in order. I gave example of some people say Babu, Babu Bora, and Bora, Chota, and so on. Those are, terms of endearment. And so, if the person is not offended by those names, it will be allowed to refer to that person by those names and to call him by those names. That would not be any distortion of a name. But Fatima, for example, is the name of the beloved daughter of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right, so Fatima is also a beloved name. Our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept that name for his daughter. So now to start distorting those names and calling a girl by the name of Fatima as Fati, Fati, and things like that, Fat, and all of that, is not appropriate. We should respect the names that have been kept by the great, respectable people of this ummah. And, you know, you rather use an endearment term like Bori, Choti, and those kind of terms of endearment that are quite common in our culture particularly. And every culture has some kind of endearing names that they use, whether it is the Zulu culture, whether it is in Afrikaans. I think in Afrikaans they say Skati and all of that. I don't know, Mufti Sahab, you know better. You come from that part of the world. Right?
Exactly.
Miskat and all of that. You know, I'm not an Afrikaans speaking person, but never mind. I'm trying my luck here and there. Okay, so nevertheless, this is more or less what we're saying, that these are things that have to be considered, especially when we're going to use nicknames. I explained, and pet names also, we have explained. So this is one important aspect of the fiqh of children.
there's a question, Mufti Sahib, it says, my son's name is Muhammad. I call him Hamad out of love. Is this okay?
Hamad?
Yeah. Fear. So.
Why should one change such a beautiful name, Muhammad, and distort it by calling it Hamad? I wouldn't think it's an appropriate thing to do that. In some countries, the Arab countries, when they don't know a person's name, they refer to him as Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. But now they've gone on to distort it, and now I've heard people saying, Hamad, Hamad. So I personally would think it's not appropriate. The name of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is way too beautiful to change it to anything else. We should maintain that name in its original pristine form.
There's
any other questions, which is on?
There's another one that says that, can we call our kids angel?
Yes, those type of things, those are terms of endearment, and so as long as you don't call them shaitan, you're Satan and you're devil, anything that is, evil and that actually is demeaning to one's children, one is not allowed to keep such kind or call them by such terms. But as I said, to call them by the endearing terms, that is absolutely allowed, calling them angels and, you know, sweeties and sweetie pies and sweethearts and all of that. Those type of endearing terms that denote that love and that compassion and mercy for them, those are, mashallah, allowed.
Mufsab, there's a question. I'm not sure if Mufsab has dealt with this issue. It says that, can you explain the rulings with regards to gifts that are given to children?
Yes, we did discuss it briefly in the past, Mufsab, but there's no harm in repeating it. You see, as far as gifts that are given to children, first of all, it is very important that we should have absolute clarity regarding whom the gift was given to. Was it given to the parents of the child, or was it given to the child itself? If it is quite evident and clear, maybe a sum of money was given in an envelope and the name of the child was written on there, say for example, baby Musaji, or baby Rawat, or what's his Mullah Habib's surname?
Bobat.
Baby Bobat, for example, right? So, we would say that, yes, it's quite clear that this was given to the child, because the child's name is on the envelope. So that indicates that this belongs to that particular child. Now, once it is established that this belongs to the child, then it becomes the property of the child. And now it has to be kept as an amanat, as a trust. So any gift, whether it is in the form of money or clothing or whatever else is given to a child, you know, like toys and also prams and strollers and car seats and curbs and quartz and all these type of things that are generally given as a gift to a child, if it is given to that particular child, then it will belong to the child. But if it is given, for example, to the family, the parents and the child, in the sense that they will then use this cot or this crib and so on, and they could use it for the first child, and they could use it for as many other children, so then it won't belong specifically to the child. But if it's given specifically for the child, and it's clearly mentioned that it is for the child, then that belongs to the child. Now, when something belongs to the child, the parents are the custodians or guardians of that property of the child, and they have to ensure that, you know, at no time it is lost or damaged or destroyed willfully. And when it reaches a certain point when it is of no use or benefit to the child, then they have to look at an appropriate way of disposing of it, perhaps sell it away for whatever price that is appropriate, sell it, and then take it and put it into the savings account of that child. So in this manner, those things that are gifted to children, we have to ensure that we take good care of it and it does not become, you know, destroyed, or it's not usurped, or it's not taken and given away to someone else without the fair compensation to that child. For example, if you choose those clothes, for example, were quite new, and they are not used so much that it was not really worth keeping it. So now, for example, if the parents take that and they want to give it in the use of the next child that is born in the house, then they should look at the fair value of those clothing and then compensate the first child, because these were the ones that were given to him as a gift. Thereafter, it belongs to the parents. Then, as many children as they have after that, if obviously those clothes last till then they may use those clothing for those children. Because let us remember something. If the parents, if that garment was not given to the child as a gift, the parents don't have to buy it. So either way, they're buying it. Either they bought it from a shop, or then they're buying this gift that was given to the child. They're buying it from the child, and they're using it for the other children. So this is some of the fundamental rules regarding things that are gifted to children.
That brings us on to 10 o'clock spot on Mufti Saab. Jazakumullah khair for your time this morning.
Jazakumullah Mufti Saab. Take care and request God, Mufti Saab.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Mufti Zubair Bayt with the continuation of the discussion on the fiqh of children, dealing with various issues relevant to children. That's where we leave it for this morning. Jazakumullah khair for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.